Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Colossians chapter 1, we finished with verses 3 through 8, and we are looking forward to beginning a new passage today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. We welcome you to another day's broadcast of the Lamp and Light Radio Ministries, which comes on every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time on your local radio station. And today we're looking at Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. We have titled this section, Marks of Maturity. Let me encourage you to get pencil and paper out, good King James Bible, and follow along with us. We will be doing some word studies as we go. We give you some things that are a little bit more in depth than what you would normally get either by radio or in Sunday school. And so we try to help you out with this and to give you just a little bit more than you normally would receive in a church or radio ministry. Also, if there's something special about this broadcast stands out to you and you'd like to have a copy of this tape of today, or maybe you want a copy for tomorrow because you know that you'll be missing tomorrow's message, then let me encourage you to do this, right? And say that you'd like to have the Marks of Maturity, Colossians 1, 9 through 11, and send us a gift of $5, and then indicate whether or not you want a CD or cassette tape. Now make sure that you include your mailing address so that we can mail that back to you, and also what radio station you listen to, what week you heard the message. We keep records of this, and this helps us to expedite matters much more quickly. Also, call and ask others to listen in to the Lamp and Light broadcast. That's how this ministry grows. Let me encourage you as well to write us, even if it's just a postcard, to say, we are listening and keep on keeping on, okay? If you'll write something to us like that, that lets us know that those in that radio area where you write from are listening, and it also lets us know that we're being effective in that particular area and helps us to have wisdom in the direction of our radio ministry. For an example, if we have many responses in one place and we have no responses in another place, and we see a need to expand the ministry, and we have to choose between eliminating one of the places, we'll probably eliminate the place where we're not hearing from, believing that there's no effect in there. And yet, it may be very effective, we just don't know. And we have to pray about it, but nonetheless, your cards and letters help. If the Lord lays us on your heart to send us a financial gift, every bit of that, of course, goes right back into this radio ministry. However, we don't want you sending us a financial gift if it takes away from your local church. Your regular tithes and offerings begins there first, and so let me encourage you to do that. But this radio ministry, along with other radio ministries that are designed to try to help you to grow in the Lord, we realize that you cannot support every radio ministry that is on Christian radio, but you can write a card and let them know you're listening and encourage those particular ministries. We do want to hear from you that you are listening. Now, if you have your Bibles, we trust you'll go to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and follow along as I read there. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, to give you an understanding of this text, Paul has been told by Epaphras that the church at Colossae is faithful and full of the love of God. They have faith in Jesus Christ, and they love the brethren. Boy, what a testimony to have. We each need to strive to have a testimony like that. And that's the testimony of that local church at Colossae that Epaphras shares with the Apostle Paul. And Paul is saying that since I heard it, I do not cease to pray for you. And then Paul tells them how he prays for them. The specific prayer request. In other words, he just doesn't say, bless them, Lord. No, he prays specifically, as we should, for one another. And since these requests are in Holy Writ, it is important that we examine them to see if they are true in our own lives. Now, notice how excited Paul is about this church. He uses the words cease and desire in verse 9. In Greek, both the words cease and desire are what they call a present participle, which expresses continuous action. In other words, he continually prays. He continually desires. You ever ask someone to pray for you concerning a special need, and 2 months later, you tell them, hey, thanks for praying. And they look at you like, pray about what? And they probably did pray one time, and now they have forgotten about it. Well, Paul didn't pray just one time and forgot about it. He continually prayed for these people. When Paul saw people were serious about the Lord, he continually prayed for them. And so often our prayers deal with looking at people that are unsaved and backslidden, and we should pray for them. But my friend, it may require even more prayer for those that are really serious about the Lord and are serving Him, that we uphold them with our prayer. Oh, it's so important. And more important than just saying, bless them, Lord, but that we pray specifically for them. Paul prayed earnestly for people that had a good testimony before God and man. Now, by the way, the word desire, being continuous here in this section here, in this verse, verse 9, it is a specific word for prayer, which signifies to ask for something. Ask to be given something, not done. Giving prominence to the thing that is asked for rather than the person that is asking. For example, you may desire legislation that makes adultery, homosexuality, alcohol, drugs illegal. And you want legislation that will punish severely those who are involved in those things. And you may vote for a person that stands for these very issues. But your desire is more for those issues and their accomplishments than they really are for the man that is elected. And that is what is the idea here in our text. Now, we see what the praying and unceasing desire specifically is in verse 9. He prays that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now, the Greek word for knowledge here may be best understood if we said in today's vernacular, super knowledge. Now, in that day, there was a group called the Gnostics. And I'll probably say more about them in a later lesson here over the radio. But nonetheless, they separated thought from matter. Knowledge to them was everything. They believed that Jesus was only an emanation from God, and that there were other angels that were in between. These people that were Gnostics had knowledge, and they felt like that they were a cut above the rest, and they were more knowledgeable, and so they looked down on others. Gnosticism got into the various religions. As a matter of fact, Gnosticism was a system that fit into nearly any religion. You see, knowledge of itself puffeth up. Isn't it interesting today that you have people will have their Bible studies. And they have their home Bible studies, and a group of them get together, and they pray together, and they read the Bible together. And I'm not knocking that, but I'm just saying they get to a point, and they feel like, we're super Christians. And they'll go to church and Sunday school, maybe a Wednesday night Bible study, and they act like, well, we are tolerating this, but it really, it's too elementary for us. It's just not deep. And they feel like they're more knowledgeable and they're better Christians than these other people. And often they think of themselves as deeper lifers. And, oh, I'm living the deeper life. And yet, instead of being in the church, they think a lot of times, well, I don't got to go Wednesday night. I don't need to go to this or that because it's just not deep. Revival meetings. Oh, they don't get deep in revival meetings. So I might go a couple of nights, but I'm not going to get in there and get excited about it. And you see, although the preaching of the cross is to us who believe it is power, they say it's elementary. And after a while, to them, it becomes foolishness. But you see, these people that get into the deeper life, all of a sudden, they get into a deeper knowledge that says, oh, I don't have to witness anymore. If people are going to get saved, they're going to get saved, but I don't have to be the one to witness. And they relieve themselves of faithful attendance in church, getting into revival meetings, not just being there, but being a faithful supporter of it, being there in prayer, being there in body, being there to invite others, being there excited in prayer about souls being saved and Christians getting things right with God. Instead, they sit there almost as critics if they come. And they don't witness to others. My friend, Jesus gave a great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And frankly, what I'm saying is this. The problem with those kind of people that think they're deeper lifers is that they're just too shallow. They're too shallow to understand the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're too shallow to understand what it is to get involved in the local church and serve God. God ordained, it was of God Himself that He ordained the local church. And you see, these people are too shallow to see that, and they lack the capacity to understand that. Now, this word here of knowledge meant clear and exact knowledge. And Paul, therefore, is praying for a real super knowledge that is found in having a super knowledge of the will of God. So he is praying they'll have a super knowledge of God's will. Now, that's a good thing for you and I to pray for each other and for our fellow saints in Christ, that we'll have a super knowledge of the will of God. And in that, it is written in the context of verse 10, which says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, then we see this is speaking of God's will or a super knowledge of God's will for the conduct of our lives. In other words, we just don't want a super knowledge of God's will that say, hey, we know what it is. No, it's a super knowledge of the will of God so that we might do it. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
stands my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.